Good afternoon. I'd like to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to speak tonight and give you all an update on everything that's going on out in the Pacific. So, shining the light in Pompeii. For, as y'all know, for about the past 3 years, my family and I have been out there on the island of Pompeii in the country of Micronesia, trying to shine the light and teach people the gospel to try to get as many people to come with us to heaven as possible. So, last year, and going out there, we had set some goals. So one of our goals was to train the men to be able to lead singing and to be able to preach, and also to train the women to be able to have personal Bible studies with other women, and also to teach the Bible classes. So these are some of the men of the congregation there. The first one here is Brother Charlie. He moved to the U.S. right before I came here. He moved to somewhere up north. Illinois. I don't remember. He moved to Illinois, but while he was on Pompeii, he helped a lot with a bunch of stuff. He would preach sometimes. He was a bus driver. And so him moving, we had to worry a lot to try to get all those roles replaced, to try to be able to go on once he left. And then, of course, the next person is my dad. He definitely helps a lot with stuff. the third person there is Brother Ricky. The year before that, he started coming. He came to one of our picnics. And he wanted to hear more about what we were doing and what we were teaching and everything. So we studied with him. And now he was baptized, he and his wife. And now he is helping a lot, and he drives the bus or the van to pick up people, and he's done a lot to try and do some of the things that Charlie was doing before he left. The next one is Brother Roy. Brother Roy is our main translator. One of his main problems is that he can't see very well. So he's our main translator, but he can't read the scriptures in Pompeian. So if we want to have a scripture read, then generally what we'll do is we'll have the scripture read before the lesson, and Brother Ricky will read it for us. Or Brother Ricky translates for us a lot too, and he can read the scriptures. But for his personal studying, he will get his neighbors and just get his friends and other people to come and read his Bible to him. Or if he gets a tract or a book from us, then he'll get other people to read it to him. And so that's a good way for him not only to be able to learn and study for himself, but also to be able to tell others and to be able to get the knowledge into other people's heads. This next person here is Brother Andreas. Y'all might remember early last year, he's the one who lost the daughter in a car accident. And so he and his family, after that, they're even more strong now. They're even stronger in the faith. And so he's been trying to help and do as much as he can, but he doesn't understand and speak English very well. He understands a little, but not very well. So when we're going to talk to him, we need Brother Roy or Brother Ricky to help us translate. Up until recently, he hasn't really been able to do a lot. The people there are generally very shy, and so we've been trying to get him to be more outgoing and to be to help more in worship. And while my parents, they traveled a lot this summer, so they weren't on island for a couple weeks. And while they were gone, he got up and he preached sometimes. And so they came back a day early, and the congregation there, they weren't expecting him. But Andreas got up there and he preached. And he doesn't preach in English. He doesn't understand English, so he doesn't need a translator. And that day, they didn't use a translator, so my family couldn't understand it. And so he was trying to get my dad to go up there and preach so that they would understand it. But My dad said no and told him to go ahead and preach anyway. And my parents said that he did such a good job that they were able to understand it. And so he's come a long way, especially in the past year. One thing that we're trying to get them to do is lead singing. And he will lead singing sometimes, but it's always the same song. He has his one song that he gets up there and he sings every day. But this morning, or yesterday morning, since they're a day ahead, he got up and he led singing. They had a singing service, or not a singing service, but like Bible class. And he got up and he led a lot of songs. So, and he did a good job, so they were very happy about that. Last one is Brother Jones. He is Fernand's dad. Y'all heard a lot about Fernand recently. And he recently, because of taking care of Fernand and visiting Fernand and everything, he lost his job. He was working at the Australian embassy there, and he really liked it, and the people there really liked him. But one day when he got there, they said that they had shut the, he said that they shut the gates and told them not to let him in, since he had missed so much. So we need to pray for him so that he can be able to get a new job and provide for his family there. He translated for the first time this morning, or yesterday. I'll say yesterday. So he translated for the first time yesterday, and they said he did a good job. And the reason that he translated was because Brother Ricky and Brother Roy live on the south side of the island. And Brother Ricky will drive the van around to pick everybody up and to bring people to the northern church building, which is where they were meeting. But the van had a flat tire or something, so he wasn't there. And so that's both of our translators. And so, and Brother Jones, he lives in the North Colonia area, and so we're trying to get him to do more, to be able to do more there. He's done a lot with his family, personal Bible studies, making sure that all of his family is learning and learning the little yellow cards that we do and learning all their Bible facts. His son, Jormac, all of his sons are, he has four sons, and they're all like J-E-O-R something. So Jormac, Jeremy, and then Jay Carter. I don't remember what his name is, but we call him Jay Carter. And then Fanon, and then the baby. I don't remember the baby's name. And so he's making sure that all of them know all of their stuff. Except for the baby. The baby can't do the Bible Bowl yet. But Jormac, when they did a Bible Bowl earlier this year, and Jormac got the highest grade in all of everybody. So he even beat Mr. Ricky. But Mr. Ricky was giving him the opportunity to answer, making sure that Jormac had the opportunity to answer all the questions and everything. So all the young kids are learning, and we're trying to get everybody to have Bible studies with their family and their neighbors and everything. Okay, another thing we were trying to do is the women, training the women. I don't have any pictures, but the women there, a couple of the women, Mr. Ricky's wife, and then her name is Cassandra, and then Ladisa, they are helping a lot with the Bible studies and the Bible classes. They are to the point where they can teach the Bible studies or the Bible classes for the kids, and they will if they have to, but they don't do it a lot. They don't like doing it, so we're trying to work with them with that. All right, so getting into the community. That was another one of our goals. First was to train, and then second, getting into the community. And so a lot of y'all know we started the Pompey Players group, which is our little theater group there. We've had two shows so far. We were working on a third one that was earlier this year, but a bunch of people just disappeared and we didn't hear from them, so that never happened. But we're working on a third one right now for the Christmas season. Our first one was Best Christmas Pageant Ever, and the second one was Jack and the Beanstalk. And it was a musical, and it went over very well. And the people there really, really enjoyed it. So we're trying to get out into the community so that the people know that we're there. And once we know people, we can start having Bible studies with them and try to bring them to church, bring them to the Lord. Another thing we did this year to get into the community was we threw a carnival at our church building. It was originally supposed to be a fall festival, but it was kind of late, so we just called it a carnival. And so we invited a lot of the kids of the community and a lot of people to come, and that was fun. We had a lot of games there. We had the Dutch game where you have to pick up the shapes, and then ring toss. Might recognize this one. Some of you might recognize this one. The Plinko there. And then that one's where you, like, hop the frogs, you push down on them. But to play these games, they would need the tickets. And to get tickets, they would go to my dad and they'd have to answer questions from the yellow cards. Or he would give them a book of the Bible and then he would say New Testament or Old Testament. And so that was a way to get all the kids to get it in their heads, and even some of the adults were answering the questions that they did. Okay, another thing that they did this summer while I was here was they had a big VBS. And they did it, they went out to other islands too, the island of Kosrae and Chuuk, and they had VBSs there too, but we'll talk about those a little bit later. VBS on Pompeii. It had a superhero theme. So they had a lot of fun with that, and a lot of people came, and they learned a lot. The church there helped a lot with teaching the Bible classes and doing skits. They had some skits that they did, and I think I've got to... Let's see. Yeah, down there. That's the skit of when Mary and Joseph are looking for Jesus and when he's in the synagogue. So there's Jones and Rosemary, and then their son, Jormac. So they had a lot of skits like that they would learn, and the way they did that, some of the people there, they can read English. They can't understand it or speak it too well, and they're really shy. But we got them to go up there with their sheet, or they did, I wasn't there. They got them to go up there with their sheet and read off the English, their English lines. So, and they understood enough what they were saying because they practiced before. And so they would say, this means this, or this means this. And so they were able to do that, and that went over really well. They had a lot of Bible classes and some crafts. I don't know if you can see any of the crafts here, but they had people make masks and make capes. And then the teens, some of the older teens, or not older teens, just teens, they had stuff too, and they played games, and they had their own Bible classes and everything. So another one of our goals was to grow the church. Want to grow the church in the faith, in the size, and grow closer together. So we've been working on that a lot while we've been there. So some baptisms that we've had this year, of course you know these two people, this Jones and Rosemary. They were baptized in January, and they've been helping a lot. Both of them have been helping a lot since then. This is Maylene. This is Maylene. This is Charlie's niece. And she was having a lot of struggles with her life. Let's see. I don't remember if my dad talked about this last year, but her husband was killed by one of the Chuukese person people there. He got in a fight, and then later he got in a fight, but then they settled it, and then later the guy came back and killed him while they were sleeping. And so she's had a lot of troubles dealing with that and everything, but that led her to come and have studies with us, and so she's been coming, and she's been having studies with her children. She has, she has five kids, and then recently a relative had a daughter, and they didn't want her, so they gave it to her. So now she has six kids. And they're all named My Prince. One's named My Prince, My Queen, My something. And then the little girl's name, or no, Boy. It's a little boy. Because the little boy's name is Boy. All right. And then The most recent baptism we've had is Fanon. Fanon is 13 years old, and she's the one that's been having a lot of heart problems recently. And so I know a lot of y'all have been praying for her for that, and she's gotten a little better. It's looking like she'll be able to fly out to get the treatment and everything that she needs. And having this problem with her heart and having these heart problems and everything led her to have more Bible studies and to ask more questions and everything. So recently, she decided that she needed to be baptized. So that's a good thing. Alright, there she is. Let's see. If y'all want to send out cards to her, y'all can send them to our address in Pompeii, to P.O. Box 2467. And they're really trying to get a lot of cards there because she's been really discouraged and everything, so that's hard for her. Okay, so another thing. We want to grow the church not only in Pompeii, but all throughout Micronesia. So this summer, my family went to the island of Kosrae and the island of Chuuk. First, they went to Kosrae, so these are some pictures from this is a picture from Kosrae. While they were there, they went door knocking. They had to get permission from the governor, I think, to go door knocking and have a VBS and everything. And he was very excited that they were there, and very excited to have a VBS, but he was sad that they were only having a one-day VBS. So, there's some pictures from VBS. They did the same one that they did in Pompeii, but they didn't have the members of the congregation in Pompeii to help them. And so, they did puppets, they taught Bible classes, they played games, they had skits, and that was just a one-day. They were able to do it in a gym. And the thing with Kosrae is not as established, not as developed as Pompeii, and Pompeii is not even that well developed. But with Kosrae, they're kind of a closed culture. So they were open to them coming and having the Bible studies and the VBS and everything, but in order to really be able to start a congregation there and bring people to the Lord, we would need to have someone living there, or need to have a congregation already established there, and so that's something that's going to take a lot of work. They are very, they are not individualistic, the opposite of individualistic that I can't remember right now. Okay, so after that, they went to Chuuk. My dad and I, last year, we went to Chuuk. And so this summer they went back, and they had a VBS there. The VBS there lasted 3 days, and while they were there, they had Bible studies with people, and they brought back to the Bible booklets, it's a 3-book study guide to help have personal Bible studies with people. And so they brought a bunch of them to Brother Hermit, right there, and my parents were teaching him how to have these Bible studies with people. And so it's 3 books. Each book builds on the other one, and they're each about 1 to 2 hours long. And so while my parents were talking to Hermes about this, they had the VBS. There's the VBS. There we go. While my parents were talking to Hermes about these, Brother Omar here, or wasn't Brother Omar at the time, Omar here, he'd recently been, or his whole life, he's been a big alcoholic. And so he's been trying to work with that, and trying to change his life and fix his life up. And so he's been working very hard on that recently. And he overheard them talking, and he came up to my dad and asked him a couple questions, and then he left, and then my parents, they went back the next day, and they talked to Brother Hermes, or Brother Hermes came up and talked to them, and he said that that night, he and Omar here sat and went through all 3 books. They sat late into the night, just sat there for 6 hours doing these books, and after that, he had a couple more questions, and then he decided he was ready to be baptized, so... very happy to hear that, and need to pray for him that he's able to stay on the right path and learn more. All right. Okay, so the third thing was we want to grow the, or I guess second thing, we'll talk about faith third. The second thing is we want to grow the congregation closer together. We want them to feel like a family and be able to know that they can trust each other and always be there for each other and always to build each other up and help each other go to heaven. And so one thing we did was we had this picnic, which was also outreach and also to help bring the community in, but to grow, mainly to grow the congregation closer together. And so we had our outdoor service that morning. We had a short Bible class and then the singing and lesson and worship. And then after that, everybody went out and had some fun at the Marine Park, and my mom had put a bunch of games together. And so everybody had a lot of fun that day, fellowshipping with one another, and we played the egg racing game, the balloon toss game, and then some of the adults and teens were over to the side playing spoons. They really liked spoons, and so they had a competition or a tournament, and the winner got a deck of cards or two decks of cards and some spoons to take home. So, and then after that, after everybody had played around, everybody was really hungry, and so we provided the chicken, and then everybody brought some sort of side dishes that they could make, like rice or taro or something. And that chicken, these people might be poor and have a hard time finding something to eat, but that is some of the best food that you will ever eat. It is, the way that they cook it and everything is really good. And so a lot of the men were bonding over that and over there talking the whole time. Okay, so, before we go to that, I don't have pictures for this, but we also want to help them grow in faith. And so with that, we're having Bible classes that can fit each age range and each person's knowledge. While I was there, I was teaching a teen class, and then my mom and some of the ladies there teach a kids class, and then my dad teaches right now he's going through a Pacific Islands Bible College course for the adults. And Pacific Islands Bible College is another thing that we do to help people learn more. Every once in a while, we'll have people come out there, and that while they're there, they'll teach one or two classes, and we'll try to get as many people there as we can. And Brother Charlie and Sister Larissa have both graduated from Pacific Islands Bible College. Alright. So, that's what our past goals were. That's what we've been working on. So what is going on right now? Well, right now we have men who can lead in worship, which is a very good thing. While my parents were gone, they continued to preach and continued to meet. And so they were very encouraged when they got back and saw everybody still there and everybody being able to do what they're doing. And so we're still working with them on that because no one can ever be perfect. And so we're still working on them and trying to get more people to be able to do it. We have women who can teach Bible class. They can, but they don't. And so we're trying to get them to do that. Also, we're working with the young men. And another thing that happened yesterday or this morning that they were very happy about was one of the young men got up to lead a prayer. And during the kids' class, got up to lead a prayer. And they could actually hear him, which is good. Because a lot of times they are, even the adults, they'll get up and pray and they'll just go, and they'll just whisper so you can't hear them. Or sometimes they'll just go out there and they won't say anything. And then, amen. And so it was a good thing to be able to hear him. And he actually spoke out, and so that was good. And also a lot of the young men have recently been getting up to lead a song when we have the singing nights or something. So that's good. That's something we're working with. Right. Oh, there's Joel Mack. He's the one that went, got the high score in Bible Bowl. And he's also one of the first people to memorize the whole yellow card. And he is definitely, you can definitely see how his parents, are working with him and making sure that they have these family Bible studies and have this knowledge getting put into their head. So another thing we're doing right now is we're trying to work on the youth, as in, like, the teens. Like I said, while I was there, I was teaching a teen class, but it was normally about four people, and there's three of us, me, Connor, and Gavin. And so that really is just one other person. And so sometimes we'd get up to about six or seven people, and so we're trying to teach them and train them. The fourth person was Tisa, which is Ladisa's daughter, and she was baptized last year or the year before. And so we're trying to train her and teach her, but also to teach these others and have Bible studies with others. And so right before I left, we threw our first teen night, and that was when we got a bunch of people together in our office. We have a little office there, and we played games, we had a devotional, and that was fun. But they haven't had one since they got back. No one wants to do it again. So we're trying to figure something out and trying to work with that. So right now we have two congregations, or we had two, not congregations, church buildings. We had two church buildings. This is the church building in the north part of the island. This is the outside, and I think there's not a picture of the inside. But it has one big auditorium, just one big open room, and then a little room here that we use as storage or sometimes the teen class. And then around to the side, over there, there's a kids' classroom where we do the kids' classes. This is our southern church building in Mesisto. And the members built this themselves right before we moved there. And so we'll kind of alternate between going to the north side, going to the south side. But when my parents got back to Ponte after they were traveling everywhere, they came back here to the Mesisto congregation, or church building, but congregation. They thought they were meeting there. So we came there to the, they came there to the church building, and there was a wall just like built up on half the, in separating half the building. And so they had a talk with Baldwin. Baldwin is the person that lives there. And he said that they had been living there. And they said that he said it was still okay, we could still use this first half. But as you can see, this isn't even everybody that's normally there. And so it's pretty packed, even the full building. And he doesn't understand English doesn't speak English very well. So my dad was saying, okay, we'll go and we'll get Brother Roy, and then he can come back and we can have a talk. And he said, no, he said, Roy's never allowed back on my land unless the police are here. And so he got really mad and said that, eventually he said that the land technically wasn't even the church building because of some legal thing, the way the signatures were signed or something, I don't know. And so we can't meet there anymore. And so right now we just have the church building on the north side of the island. Which leads to our plans for the future. Right now we just have that one church building, but a lot of people are over on the south side of the island. But recently, a lot of the people that have been coming aren't actually from the south side, but are from kind of the east side. And so right now in that area is called Kichi. And so we're trying to get a place there. That's what we've been trying to do for a while. Right now, let me get the specifics so that I don't mess anything up. Rosemary's mom, Fanon's grandma, is coming to the States, and we're trying to get Fanon to be able to go with her. But when she leaves, she's never planning on coming back. And so that her land there will be empty. And she's giving it to Rosemary. She's giving the land to Rosemary, and she said, and Rosemary said that that will be gifted to the church, and we can do whatever we want with it. So what we're planning right now is we're planning on doing that, building a church building there and having a big auditorium room, maybe classrooms, and then in the back we'll have a room for Oscar and Roy to live in. Because right now Roy is back where it's hard to get to, and like we said, he's way on the south side of the island, and so it's hard to get him up there. Also, Oscar, well first, year round lunch to leaders. That's something that we're going to start working on. Next year, next April, my family and I are planning on coming back to go to Lads to Leaders, but we'll be going with our own group. That will be just us, but we're trying to get a bunch of people on Pompeii to participate in the year-round things. And so that goes along with teaching the young men to lead singing and Bible reading, all that kind of stuff. And also get some of the young ladies, like Piper and Fanon and Tisa, to do stuff with the ladies' days and Bible classes and stuff. All right, Author, there we go. Many of y'all know that last February, we sent him off to Fiji to go to a preaching school there. And then he came back for about a month, and then he went back, and he's about to graduate. And on November 10th, he'll come back, and so he'll hopefully be doing a lot of the preaching and everything there. And so when we get the church building built in Kitchi, the room that we're going to build will be for him and Roy, and a place to keep all of his books, because right now, Oscar is even harder to get to sometimes. It depends on the weather and how much it's been raining. But Oscar is sometimes harder to get to than Roy, and he's way back, and he doesn't really have anywhere to live. He's kind of living with some of his family and his brother and everything. And so he doesn't have a place to put his books and his computer where it won't get ruined and get messed with. And so that's what we're hoping. But until we get that built, he can put his stuff in our office and maybe live in our office for a while and then eventually move out to there. Another thing that we're very excited about is we have some interns coming that are going to help with a lot of stuff. They're coming December. They'll be there all the way from December 4th to January 9th. So they'll be there for a long time. And it's, I don't know their last names, but Taylor and Kirsten, they're both at Freed. Right now, they're actually over with Miriam. So, but when they get back from that in December, they'll come out to Pompeii. And while they're there, they'll be helping with a ladies' retreat, which we had, not this year, but last year. Last year, we had a ladies' retreat, and that's where they went out, and they spent the night somewhere, and they had a lot of lessons and everything. And then this year, we just had a ladies' day. And so, in January, we'll have another ladies' retreat, and that's what they will be helping with. They'll also be helping us move stuff in the office and kind of organize that and clean it up. And to teach the Bible classes. Okay, so, in closing, why are we out there? What are we doing out there? Well, we know what we're doing out there, but why? Alright, so, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes and imagine that you're in a dark cave. Sometimes when you're in a dark cave, you'll go down there and they'll just turn the lights off. So there's no light at all. And then imagine that over one of the rocks, you see a light start to come out. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." You can open your eyes. So what does light do? Why do we need to shine the light out in Pompeii? What does light do? Well, one, light stands out in the darkness. If you're in a dark cave like that, and there's no light at all, you can't see anything. But even just a tiny match lights up a big area. So light stands out. We need to go out there and not be ashamed and be able to spread the light and teach everybody. Matthew 5:14 and 15 says, "You are the light of the world. A town, city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light into all the house." So that one little match, or that one little light in a cave, can light up a bright area. When you're in an airplane, and it's dark, and it's at night, you're flying over Nevada, it's really dark, you can't see anything, and then Las Vegas. Las Vegas is super bright. You can see it from way up in the air when you can't see anything else. It's a city, it's not set on a hill, but it's just in the darkness and it's bright. It's like a light on a lampstand. So verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now in Las Vegas, there might not be a lot of good works going on, but there's a lot of light. And so we need to be like that light and shine our good works as bright as that. Alright, so it stands out, and also it guides. Exodus 13, verse 21 through 22 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." So we see here that God was guiding his people through the wilderness in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If he used a pillar of cloud at night, you wouldn't be able to see it that well. But during the day, you can see it. You can see it very well because the light comes into the cloud and it kind of reflects it. But at night, which one's easier to see, a cloud or fire? Definitely fire. So the light works in these things by the light, the sun, or whatever the light source is, reflecting off of something else. And whatever that thing is can shine that light to somewhere, to a different place. That's not the right verse. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so we're going out there to show the people the light so that we can guide them, and so that the Bible and God can guide them to heaven and to what they need to be doing. Also, light exposes. If you're in a dark room, or let's say you're back in that cave. Back in that cave, you can imagine these giant stalagmites, giant stalactites, these great crystals and everything, and it might seem great. Or if you're in a room and the lights are off and it's nighttime, you say, "Oh, there's a great couch." Someone's describing, "There's a great couch here, beautiful curtains, all this nice carpet." And then they turn the lights on, and it's all covered in cobwebs and run down. And there's holes all in everything. So, that's still not the right verse. John 3:19 says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." So not everybody's going to like the light that we're shining and the word that we're teaching, but people need it. Everybody needs to see what they're doing wrong. See, if someone lived in that and they always lived with the lights off, or maybe they were blind, they would never know that all this stuff is run down, or trashy, or there's cobwebs everywhere. And so we need to show them that this is wrong, and this is what the Bible says, and you need to be doing this. So we need to reflect the light. Well, what light are we reflecting? What light are we trying to shine out into all the world? Now that's the right verse. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We need to be a mirror and reflect this light, the light of God, the light of Jesus, and reflect and tell people, show everybody else. It says, and again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to be like those spotlights where it's a curved mirror and then there's a candle in the middle. We need to be centered around God and have God's light and reflect God's light to everybody else. Everybody should be able to see our light. But light can't reflect from a dirty mirror. Light can't reflect from a rusted mirror. So maybe tonight your mirror has gotten kind of old and rusty and dirty, and your light's not shining as much as it should be. Maybe you're not preaching or not showing the gospel to people that you need to be seeing the gospel. Or maybe tonight you don't have that candle there yet to shine everybody, and you have not yet been baptized and followed what God has told us to do to be able to be in his church and to be able to go to heaven. So whatever your need may be, come forward tonight as we stand and as we sing.